Slowly. He picked up the paste brush again, squared a couple of strips of film and fixed them together. After a while, he became aware that it had gone very quiet behind him. "You all right, Mr. Dibbler?" he said. "Hmm? Oh." Dibbler was deep in thought. "Just one picture had all that effect." "Oh, yes. You all right, Mr. Dibbler?"
"Never felt better, lad," Dibbler said. "Never felt better."
He rubbed his hands together.
"Let's you and me have a little chat. Man to man," he added. "Because, you know," he laid a friendly hand on Gaffer's shoulder, "I've a feeling this could be your lucky day."
And in another alleyway, Gaspode sat muttering to himself.
"Stay," he says, "giving me orders, just so his girlfriend doesn't have to have a horrid smelly dog in her room. So here's me, man's best friend, sitting out in the rain. If it was raining anyway. Maybe it ain't raining, but if it was raining, I'd be soaked by now. Serve him right if I just upped and walked away. I could do it too, any time I wanted. I don't have to sit here. I hope no one's thinking I'm sitting here because I've been told to sit here. I'd like to see the human who could give me orders. I'm sitting here because I want to. Yeah."
Then he whined for a bit and shuffled into the shadows where there was less chance of being seen. In the room above, Victor was standing facing the wall. This was humiliating. It had been bad enough bumping into a grinning Mrs. Cosmopolite on the stairs. She had given him a big smile and a complicated, elbow-intensive gesture that he felt certain sweet little old ladies shouldn't know. There were clinks and the occasional rustle behind him as Ginger got ready for bed.
"She's really very nice. She told me yesterday that she had had 4 husbands," said Ginger.
"What did she do with the bones?" said Victor.
"I'm sure I don't know what you mean," said Ginger, sniffing. "All right, you can turn round now. I'm in bed."
Victor relaxed and turned round. Ginger had drawn the covers up to her neck and was holding them there like a besieged garrison manning the barricades.
"Now you've got to promise me," she said, "that if anything happens, you won't try and take advantage of the situation."
Victor sighed.
"I promise."
"It's just that I've got a career to think about, you see."
"Yes, I see."
Victor sat by the lamp and took the book out of his pocket.
"I'm not trying to be ungrateful or anything like that," Ginger went on.
Victor ruffled through the yellowing pages, looking for the place he'd got to. Scores of people had spent their lives by Holywood Hill, apparently just to keep a fire alight and chant 3 times a day. Why? Who was the guard on the gate?
"What are you reading?" said Ginger after a while.
"It's an old book I found," said Victor shortly. "It's about Holywood."
"Oh."
"I should get some sleep if I were you," he said, twisting so that he could make out the crabby script in the lamplight. He heard her yawn.
"Did I finish telling you about the dream?" she said.
"I don't think so," said Victor, in what he hoped was a politely discouraging voice.
"It always starts off with this mountain."
"Look, you really shouldn't be talking."
"And there are stars around it, you know, in the sky, but one of them comes down and it's not a star at all. It's a woman holding a torch over her head."
Victor slowly turned back to the front of the book.
"Yes," he said carefully.
"And she keeps on trying to tell me something, something I can't make out, about waking something, and then there are a lot of lights and this roar like a lion or a tiger or something, you know, and then I wake up."
Victor's finger idly traced the outline of the mountain under the stars.
"It's probably just a dream," he said. "It probably doesn't mean anything."
Of course, Holywood Hill wasn't pointed. But perhaps it was once, in the days where there had been a city where now there was a bay. Good grief, something must have really hated this place.
"You don't remember anything else about the dream by any chance?" he asked, with feigned casualness.
There was no answer. He crept to the bed. She was asleep. He went back to the chair, which was promising to become annoyingly uncomfortable within half an hour, and turned down the lamp. Something in the hill, that was the danger. The more immediate danger was that he was going to fall asleep too. He sat in the dark and worried. How did you wake up a sleepwalker anyway? He recalled vaguely that it was said to be a very dangerous thing to do. There were stories about people dreaming about being executed, and then when someone had touched them on the shoulder to wake them up, their heads had fallen off. How anyone ever knew what a dead person